The pandemic has upended a lot of things. That includes people's personal finances. Some have saved money more after more than a year of staying at home. Many have gotten thousands of dollars in aid from the federal government. Our next guest says that's let many Americans pay down or pay off their credit card debt. Another set of data shows, though, that many Americans with low credit scores are falling behind on car payments. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What has the pandemic and this last year meant for your debt? Have you been able to pay down things like credit cards? Have you fallen behind on things like car payments or other debt? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Anna Maria Andriotis covers consumer credit for The Wall Street Journal. Anna Maria, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Great to be speaking with you.
Let's start with credit card debt. You wrote about this recently. What are we seeing over the course of the pandemic?
Since the pandemic began, credit card debt has been mostly declining, and that has been surprising for the lenders and other industry watchers who expected the opposite to occur. For consumers, it certainly paints a very good picture, at least of one type of consumer debt and how it's being handled by households.
And you looked at the big numbers. You also talked to some people. What is the story behind people being able to and willing to pay down that credit card debt?
So with regards to the big numbers, they certainly tell a very positive story. So credit card balances in total were at $749 billion in the U.S. Back in March, according to data from a major credit reporting firm. And that was down 15% almost from a year prior. This has been the continuation of a declining trend in balances now since at least last summer. And the individual consumer stories are very interesting because they really point to some of the macro events that have been playing out over the past year that have impacted individuals' finances. For example, the impact that deferment and forbearance plans have had has been a big one. So when the pandemic began, the student loan payments, federal student loan payments, were put on pause automatically for millions of borrowers. And what that's meant for some people is the hundreds of dollars, if not more, that they had to send every month to pay down their student debts. Those payments have not been required for more than a year now because of the CARES Act that was passed when the pandemic first began. And so what that's allowed some people to do, including a woman who I spoke with for the story, she basically diverted the $500 a month that she would need to send towards her student loan payments towards her credit card bills instead. And the result, she said, was that she was able to pay off her credit card debt. There have been other types of assistance, too, that have provided big help. For example, the stimulus payments that have been approved by the government since the pandemic began. That's extra money that people weren't expecting to receive and that they've been able to put towards paying down their debt. So it's been a mixture largely of the federal assistance, both from the stimulus payments as well as the deferment and forbearance plans that have put many mortgages as well as many student loans on hold and have allowed people to divert those payments towards paying things down like credit cards. One other program to point out that certainly has had an impact and given some breathing room to people at a time when they needed it. There were also individual lenders, many large credit card issuers were offering deferment programs. Now, those weren't as generous as the federal ones, but it did give people a couple months, in some cases, 3 months or so, to not have to make their credit card payments, to try to get their finances in order, to try to find that next job, but breathing room to keep them from becoming delinquent on their credit card debt.
Now, this, I think most people would see as good news, people paying down a credit card debt, not caring as much. It's got some banks and credit card providers worried, though. What are they seeing happening to their business model?
So few credit card lenders expected that credit card debt would be falling for such a long period of time. In the summer, when the evidence of that first emerged last summer, it was surprising, but it was considered to be kind of a blip and things would return to normal. But that has not been the case, and credit card debt has continued to fall. And what that means for the banks is, while credit cards are a very profitable source of consumer lending for them, the interest charges that people pay when they carry a balance from month to month, well, when balances are falling, that's less interest charges that the banks have to collect on. And so what's been playing out over the last few months, especially as the employment numbers have been improving, is that the banks have started to loosen some of their lending standards. When the pandemic began, they pulled back sharply, making it very difficult for people to get access to new credit. But it is now becoming easier again to get approved for credit cards. Credit card solicitations are on the rise. Balance transfer offers are also returning to mailboxes. All of this is in an effort to try to increase the number of accounts that are carrying credit card debt from month to month.
We're talking to Anna Maria Andriotis with the Wall Street Journal, looking at her latest reporting on debt during the pandemic. A lot of people paying down credit card debt. Also, some bad news for people we'll get into in just a moment. You could let us know your story at 800-642-1234. Were you able to use, say, the government one-shot payouts to help pay down debt, or did you find your debt going up one way or another? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Anna Maria, you mentioned that there are those forbearance programs for things like mortgages or student loans. You wrote about another category that didn't have that and has got some people seeing some trouble: car payments. What kind of problems are we seeing?
So the auto loan sector is interesting because when we look at the national figures, the all-in numbers for all auto loan borrowers and their ability to pay their car loans throughout the pandemic, the numbers look very good. The delinquency rates really have not risen. But what we looked at was a segment of the population, specifically people who have low credit scores and how they're performing. And what those numbers show, also from a major credit reporting firm, is that the share of subprime borrowers with auto loans or leases who were more than 60 days past due really began to rise starting late fall of last year up through our most recent data at the time of publication, at least up through February. So some 10.9% of subprime borrowers with auto loans or leases were more than 60 days past due in February. And that was up from 8.7% a year prior. It marked the sixth consecutive month-over-month increase and was also the highest level in these delinquency data going back, the monthly data going back to January of 2019. So really the question that we explored here was why are people with low credit scores doing significantly worse than people with good credit scores when it comes to their auto loans? And really what it showed, what we found, was that this seems to be another example of the uneven economic recovery, this sort of deep divergence that is manifesting itself in different corners of the economy between those who've done well or at least have been able to navigate, financially speaking, during the coronavirus downturn, and those who have not been able to do well. So one thing that was interesting here with regards to when this number started increasing for delinquencies among subprime auto borrowers is that as the increase overlapped a period of time during which the government aid with regards to stimulus and even unemployment benefits had largely subsided. So this started during late fall of last year up until right before the next stimulus checks went out this year. It also over it also occurred during a period of time when the deferment programs that auto lenders were offering had were lessening, were starting to expire. So unlike federal student loans and many mortgages that are backed by the federal government, there was no requirement for auto lenders to offer deferment programs to allow people to put their payments on pause without the repercussions of being reported as being late. Many lenders did offer that option, but they offered it in much less generous ways than the federal programs for mortgages and student loans offered, meaning that they were offered for a month to 3 months at most. And if people entered the pandemic having already exhibited some problems paying their auto loans, getting that deferment was certainly not guaranteed. Furthermore, people who have subprime auto loans oftentimes have loans from institutions, from non-bank lenders that have not been as generous in offering deferment as the banks or other auto lenders have been.
We're picking up our talk about how the pandemic has affected people's personal finances, especially when it comes to debt and credit. More people are paying off their credit card debts, but the number of people who have low credit scores who are falling behind on car payments has gone up. Anna Maria Andriotis is with us from the Wall Street Journal, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can email ideas@WPR.org. Let's bring on a caller now. Jeremy is with us from Kenosha. Jeremy, hi.
Hi, I just wanted to say that I was able to pay off all my credit card debt and also an outstanding motorcycle loan, even though I didn't get any stimulus checks, and it was just from the money that I saved commuting and from cooking at home instead of eating out all the time.
Jeremy, thanks a lot for sharing that story. Jeremy, I think not alone, Anna Maria. A lot of people had less stuff to spend money on over this time, and some, like Jeremy, may have put that into debt.
He makes a very good point, and that's actually a big one that I should have said earlier on. The fact that people weren't commuting to work, weren't eating out as much, weren't able to travel, or at least to take the types of trips requiring airfare, hotel stays that are pricey and that were normal before the pandemic, that resulted in, for many households, thousands of dollars in savings, which they were able to put in their bank accounts or to pay down their debt. So yes, 100%, aside from the help that was offered by the government and by lenders, the sheer fact that people just didn't have as many places to spend their money during much of the past year certainly helped with paying down credit card debt.
Thanks a lot for that call, Jeremy, at 800-642-1234. Getting back to your story on people having trouble keeping up with car debt, people, especially people who have subprime credit scores, it seems like it could be, from some of the people you talked to, Anna Maria, a downward spiral if they lose their car because of debt. Well, that's how they were able to get to, say, a job that they would need to pay down debt.
That's correct. The complications with falling behind on a car can be quite big, as you just mentioned, needing it to go to work. What happens when it gets repossessed and you can't do that? Across the board, what the people who I spoke with for this story had in common is that they came in to the pandemic in a financial sort of status that wasn't the best. They had already missed some payments in their past with their lender. Because they had low credit scores in many cases to begin with, they had loans from lenders that are just not as generous with regards to offering relief, deferment, et cetera. But also the fact that many of them worked in industries that were among the hardest hit during the past year, in particular in the service industries, whether it was restaurants or bartending, at companies that did immediate layoffs when the pandemic hit. So their finances kind of went through this big shock from the very beginning, if not just before the pandemic officially kicked in the US. And so they were already strapped for cash to begin with, and in many cases had lenders that just really were not willing to work with them, as maybe the larger banks were.
Talking to Anna Maria Andriotis from the Wall Street Journal, talking about debt and how it changed during the pandemic, in many cases for the better, in some for the worse. Back to another caller with a story at 800-642-1234. Russ is with us in Stoughton. Russ, hi.
Hi. I had over $40,000 in credit card debt, and I negotiated a home equity loan with the University of Wisconsin Credit Union, and my rates were way up there. They were 20% and 24%. And I was able to negotiate a loan with the UW Credit Union for 1.49%, way, way down below what I was owing. And that has worked out tremendously. So people need to investigate the possible resources.
Russ, thanks a lot for the call. Is that something we've seen, Anna Maria, for someone with a resource, in this case, obviously some home equity? Have we seen a trend of people tackling their debt in that way, at least to bring down their interest payments?
Well, home equity, home values throughout the country have risen significantly over the past year in many parts of the country. So that is one area that they've been able to, that homeowners have been able to tap into, whether it's with a home equity line of credit or home equity loan or a cash out refi. So yes, that has been one place that they've been able to go to essentially pay off costlier debt, like the credit card debt. Somewhat of a side note, but an important one to point out here is the widespread impact that paying down credit card debt can have on people's finances. Because credit card debt accounts for a big share of our credit scores. And when that credit card debt is paid down, credit scores generally rise. And what that also means is that when the individual goes to look for other forms of credit, be it a home equity loan or anything else, quite frankly, their chances of seeing lower interest rates than what they would have been offered when they were carrying substantial credit card debt certainly is a big deal. It's also worth pointing out at this point, at least, that because lenders are basically looking for more borrowers at this point, we are at such a different place than we were at a year ago, when there was such a sharp pullback in the availability of all forms of consumer credit because unemployment had skyrocketed and lenders were concerned, because in prior downturns, when unemployment spikes, so do delinquencies. This did not happen, at least so far, during the pandemic. And now we're at a point where lenders' appetite for taking on new debt is rising. And what that means, at least in some cases, is the ability to get better deals on loans, lower interest rates potentially, than would have been available a year ago, simply because there's more demand among lenders who want to fill in the balances in general that were lost. And that might not just be with regards to, you know, offering credit cards with potentially better terms, but it could also certainly apply to auto loans, personal loans, and home loans as well.
Thanks for the call, Russ. And just our last couple of minutes, Anna Maria, you mentioned our credit scores. It reminded me of another piece you looked at, a plan that might give people access to better credit scores by looking at how they handle their bank accounts instead of just their credit history. Can you sum that up for us?
Sure. So there are around 50 million adults in the U.S. That's 50 million adults in the U.S. who do not have credit scores, who don't have FICO scores. FICO is the most commonly used credit score in the U.S. That has major repercussions on people's finances. Without a credit score, traditionally speaking, lenders have not been willing to offer affordable credit to these people. They've been confined to the world of payday loans and other forms of high-cost credit. At this point, what's happening is that a number of large banks, including JP Morgan Chase, Wells Fargo, US Bank, under the leadership and the input of a federal regulator of banks, the OCC, they're basically working together to try out something new, which would essentially be when people apply for credit cards, who don't have credit scores, the banks will be looking to see if they have bank accounts at the banks that are participating in this program. So for example, if you apply for a credit card at JP Morgan Chase, but you don't have a credit score and you don't have a bank account at JP Morgan, as of in most cases, that individual would get rejected for a credit card. But what's being worked on is if you have a bank account at Wells Fargo, JP Morgan could get that bank account data that you have at Wells Fargo to make a decision on whether or not to approve you for that credit card. What are things that they would look at? That would include things like, do you overdraw? Do you take more money out of your account than you have? Well, that would be a negative. But if you don't do that and you maintain a balance within the bank account and you're in the green, essentially, you're not in the red, the chances of you getting a credit card could potentially increase substantially. And from there, you have those knock-on effects that would follow. Suddenly, a person who doesn't have a credit score and can't get affordable credit gets a credit card from a major financial institution. And if that person handles that credit card well, making their payments on time, a good credit score will start to develop. And from there on, their access to relatively affordable loans from banks becomes possible.
Anna Maria, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's Anna Maria Andriotis. She covers consumer credit at the Wall Street Journal, sharing some of the big trends in consumer debt during the pandemic.